Happy Sunday, church. Someone say Jesus. Jesus. Happy Sunday. Can I have all y'all stand up? Want to welcome all our first-time guests. I'm Miles, Pastor Rock. Welcome to Church Sunday. Want to thank all y'all for praying for me when I was sick. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You need to thank my wife, because my wife takes care of me every single day. She gives me pills upon pills and drinks and potions and smoke and all this stuff and keep me healthy. And I got sick because I ran myself into the ground and I was getting a little better. She said, "I think you have pneumonia." And I said, "I don't have pneumonia." She said, "No, I think you have." So we went to the doctor and he listened to my chest back in front. He goes, "You're good, you're good, you're good." And she goes, "No, I want an x-ray." He goes, "Well, if you want an x-ray, I'll give it to you, but he's good." And the guy comes back 10 minutes later, "I think you have pneumonia." No, he didn't say, "I think you have pneumonia." So thank you, honey, for looking after me. So you need to stay home. And then one of our other doctors said, "You need to take a month off." I said, "No, that ain't going to happen." But anyway, thanks for praying for me. It was great. When I'm sick is the one time I could really mentally rest, because it's like, God, I'm giving you an excuse. Shut it down. Amen. So anyway, I'm so excited about today. Oh, by the way, my cousin Heather and my cousin Margaret, right? Margaret? Just I met her first time, but my cousin Heather from back when I was a little kid over here. What's up, girl? What's up? my New Yorkers. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for how you're gonna challenge us today. Lord, we give you, we invite you into our business. Say amen if you want God to get in your business.
Amen.
Say amen if you don't want him in your business. Well, you're in the wrong place. Okay. Lord, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Get someone a high five. Get someone a high five. Okay, turn to Mark chapter 1. And by the way, can we give a round of applause as you turn to Mark chapter 1 to Pastor Becky from last week on Mother's Day weekend? Come on, Becky! What's up? I said, "Becky, let me see that tiger inside. He's a little tiny package with a big old tiger inside of it." So she did great. She did great. I read a book a while ago called The One Thing. Everyone say The One Thing. And it was all about how to prioritize in your life and make sure you have the right priority of the things you're doing and the things you're not doing, because a lot of times we waste our time doing a lot of stuff. And there was a powerful quote in the book, and it goes like this: "What is the one thing that you can do such that by doing that one thing, everything else would be easier or unnecessary?" What do you think about it? Just how many of y'all are married, by the way? Raise your hand, married, okay? Y'all are like, how about this? Raise your hand really high if you're married. Okay. Okay. How about if you're not married? If you're not married. Okay. Yeah. Oh, most of y'all are not married. Okay. So what is the one thing you got to do to get married? Okay. But in your relationship, whether you're married, you're in a business, you're at school, you're trying to get healthy, what is the one thing in that area that if you did that one thing, everything else would be easier or unnecessary? Now, I promise you, every single one of us in this room are doing things that are totally unnecessary. You shouldn't be doing them. You're wasting your time. You're eating stuff, it's not helping you. You're exercising inconsistently, it ain't helping you. You're reading the Bible all over the place and you're really not getting anything out of it. So there's things that we can do that are completely a waste of time, and that's the devil's plan, is to waste your time, waste your life. So you wake up one day, 65, 75, 85 years old, and go, "What happened to my life?" But what is that one thing in your marriage, in your health, in your spiritual life, in your church life? What is that one thing? If you did this one thing, all these other things would be easier or unnecessary, because all the things we do not have the same importance or the same impact. And sometimes we're given more emphasis to things that should have less emphasis, and vice versa. Well, when Jesus went into ministry, there was something that he did that was more important than everything else, because it was the first thing he did once he started his ministry. And by the way, whatever is that important should be first. So we're gonna continue the story from a few weeks ago, where Jesus is gonna get baptized. Something's gonna happen to him when he gets baptized. God's gonna say something right after he gets baptized. Those are important. And then something's gonna happen after that that's gonna give us a hint of what we should be doing every single day. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 9. It says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Then a voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So the first thing he did to start his ministry, he was baptized. You cannot do any ministry without the Spirit of God. You can't successfully live your Christian life without the Spirit of God. I'm gonna say that a little slower. Y'all are trying to read your Bible, be a Christian, be holy, resist sin. You can't do any of that successfully without the Spirit of God. So if you're doing it in your own strength, you're wasting your time. You need the Spirit of God. Everyone say it with me, take a deep breath, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you here. We're gonna say it again. I want you to grab your heart. Take a deep breath. Say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you here every day. Every day you need to do that. Every day you need to acknowledge somehow, Holy Spirit, come upon me for my day. You can't do anything without the Spirit of God. The first thing he did. He had a 3-year ministry and he said, before I do any ministry, I'm gonna do this one thing. Look what it says. It says, immediately, everyone say immediately. By the way, in the book of Mark, there's 16 chapters. Immediately is used 42 times. This is a book of action, action, action. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness and he was there 40 days tempted by Satan. First thing he did was, I'm going after the enemy. I wanna talk today about spiritual warfare. Because every single one of you, every day you get up, Satan is planning your destruction. He is actively planning, executing destruction of your relationship with God, your relationship with your purpose, your relationship with your church, your relationship with everything good. He is actively executing his plan to destroy your life. And if you don't acknowledge the spiritual warfare you're in, you've already lost. Matter of fact, somebody say, well, the devil's not in my life. I don't see any demons in my life. The reason that you don't think the devil's against you because you're walking with him. You are doing exactly what he wants you to do. You're coming to church every now and then. You're reading your Bible every now and then. You're not really praying any prayers other than for your food or when you have a disaster. Dear God, if you get me out of this, I'll do better. And that's exactly what the devil, matter of fact, the devil wants you to do everything that you want to do in your spiritual life as long as you don't talk about Jesus. And I can tell you how many on fire, supposedly, disciples don't ever talk about Jesus except to their Christian friends. And they reinforce everything that they believe and that's it, they're safe. And God says, that's not what I called you to. That's not what I did, that's not what I want you to do. I called you to be a fisher of men. And so a lot of times the devil's got us on his little Christian leash. And as soon as we get a little too far away from him, he yanks you back, you go, okay. And so what he did is he went out and he says, devil, I'm coming after you. And he gave us a blueprint of how to fight the spiritual battle that we're in. I'm gonna give you 5 foundational principles before I get into the main message, but these 5 principles are gonna lay a foundation for the reality of our spiritual warfare and kind of give us an insight into how it works. Number one, the reality of spiritual warfare we must acknowledge. Ephesians 6:12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, and against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Every time you encounter a person, including yourself, you are in spiritual, you're engaged in spiritual warfare. And I want you to just imagine, you ever see sometime on TV, they'll have a person and they have these little thought bubbles that pop up above their head. Anybody ever see that? Okay, it's just like a little cartoon, boop, 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 and they start thinking or whatever. I want you to imagine every person you deal with, even yourself, there's angelic and demonic forces battling for your life. They're speaking to you. We're gonna talk about here in a minute. You do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not the people in your life. How many of y'all got someone in your life that you got conflict with? Let's raise your hand, elbow above the ear, really go. Okay, all of us got conflict. Why is that? Because the devil is stirring havoc in relationships. Let me read again. You do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It is not against this person in your life, these people in your life. It is against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against the spiritual. Everyone say spiritual. Host of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's invisible. So you must acknowledge and believe that this is happening. Number two, the priority of spiritual warfare. Mark 1:13. Immediately the spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by the devil, and was with the wild beast. Now, when the Bible says he was tempted, it doesn't mean he was like, I want to do it. It means that the opportunity to sin was sent to him. Before I got married, after I got saved, I was living in an apartment by San Diego State. My wife knows this story. We laugh about it all the time, but it's really true. And there were these girls down the hall from where I live. They were hot mommies, right? And their balcony overlooked the parking lot where I would park. And they would yell at me from the parking lot and tell me to come up to the room all the time. And before I got saved, I wasn't going up there. Now I'm saved. And so I'm in my apartment and I hear, they're at my door in their little lingerie. Come on down the hall. I'm like, I ain't coming down there. The devil will deliver to you opportunity. And just don't think because you have opportunity that it's from the Lord. I could buy a house, but you can't afford the house. Now, if God tells you to take a step of faith, totally different, but be sure you're here because I've taken steps of faith and it's worked out. Trust me. But I got to check with God. Temptation is the opportunity to sin. You have to have a priority that this is a priority in my life. I'm going to fight this intentionally. Number three, the choice of spiritual warfare. You have to choose this day whom you serve. Joshua 24:15. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served who are on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's what Joshua's saying. You either, I'm gonna serve God or I'm gonna serve the devil. You gotta make a choice. You cannot serve anybody else. There's nothing in between. You can't say, well, I'm just gonna serve myself. No, you're serving the devil. You can't. It's a spiritual battle. You're not a spiritual principality. You're either serving Satan and his agenda, or you're serving God and his agenda. And by the way, they're both too extreme. God wants all your heart, and Satan wants all your heart. Matter of fact, Satan can just do a little bit. If he can just get his finger, one claw in your heart, he'll get two, he'll get three, and then he'll get you. But you have to decide. That's why every day, if you wake up and say, Lord, I am choosing today to serve you. If you don't say that, something like that, if you don't acknowledge it, what's gonna happen is you're gonna wake up, have stress, worry, concern, go to your email, go to your Instagram, and now he's just reeling you in. And it's not to the end of the day that you flop on the bed, tired and exhausted and beat down that you realize, man, that was a rough day, because the devil just beats you up. There's a little frog in South America, I believe it's South America, called a tomato frog, it's red. And when a tomato frog is attacked, it can't run away, like it gets starting to get chewed up. It can't fight, so it leaks out poison. That's its defense, that it leaks out poison. It doesn't have real big teeth, gonna bite you. It's not gonna constrict you like a boa constrictor. It leaks out this poison, so if something bites it, spits it out. And he lives, but he's all chewed up. So he's only hopping with one leg, so he just goes in a circle, right? That's what we do. We wait till after everything's falling apart. Then we say, oh God, I'm sorry. And we start praying. And you ever have something happen to you really bad and all of a sudden you're reading the Bible every day? You're going to church every day? Oh, pastor, please pray. Please pray for me. Everything's falling apart. I lost my job. I think I got cancer and my car got stolen. I'm like, okay. And you, what do you want me to do? I just pray it all goes away. It goes back to normal. I say, okay, how's your relationship with God? Oh, pastor, I've been praying every day. I've been reading my Bible. I was in church 5 Sundays in a row, pastor. It's the only time in my life I've been in church 5 days in a row. And I'm like, oh, so you want me to pray that all this goes away so you can go back to coming to church on Christmas and Easter? So you can not have to pray, because God don't care about your car. He don't care you're riding the bus. He don't care that you're worried about dying, because you're going to die anyway. He wants you not to worry about dying, because you're going to go to heaven. Now, I'm not saying if you're sick, God don't care about your sickness, but what he cares more about is your spiritual life. And so you have to choose, either I'm going to do this on my own or I'm going to do this his way. That's the dilemma. We don't want to put all our chips on Jesus. But if you put all your chips on Jesus, you think you're going to lose? Oh, no, that's coming up with 4 aces every time. Okay, number 4, the nature of spiritual warfare, accusation. Accusation against God. The devil's going to accuse God in your eyes. God lied to you. Adam and Eve, these 3 accusations come out of Genesis chapter 3. First time Satan spoke, at least recorded in the Bible. 1, accusation against God. God lied to you. God's not going to bless you. When's the last time God answered your prayer? Why reading the Bible? It's not going to do any good. You don't understand Malachi. You don't need to go to church. What are you going to talk about in church that you don't know? You know everything. Yeah, I know everything. You don't know jack compared to what could be known. And the devil starts lying to you, and you go, yeah. Why'd your father die? If God is so loving, why would he take your father? Well, newsflash, I'm sad your father died. My father died. We're all going to die. God is the only God that can comfort you through that death, because his son died. So the devil's going to accuse you against God in your head. You're not going to have some black ghost in your house. And when I say black, I'm not talking about Negro black. I'm talking about black, black. Don't get it. Don't. What's he talking about? I'm talking about black, okay? You're not going to have some ghost, ooh, and that's spiritual warfare. It's probably never going to happen. The warfare is in your head. It's the accusation against God. It's the accusation against yourself. And it's the accusation against other people. Now, if you've been thinking, wait a minute, I've been hearing these accusations in my head all my life. I thought that was just my thoughts. That's the warfare. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4-6, you've got to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient. When the devil says you're a failure, you say, no. I am called, anointed, blessed, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not a failure. So that's warfare. And number 5, last one, is the goal of spiritual warfare. Freedom. To destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God has manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. If you can have all the works of the devil removed from your life, you know the only thing you're left with? It's the glory of God. Jesus came and set you free. And if you could really think about it, think about the lies that the devil has put you in bondage to, the lies about yourself, the lies about your life, the lies about your health, your relationships, other people's view of you. And by the way, all these thoughts in your head about how people view you, how you view yourself, it's all lies. There may be some truth to it. You know, you're dumb. You may not be dumb, you're just uninformed. So when it comes to that subject, you may be dumb to what that subject is, but it doesn't make you a dumb person. And so you have to sift through it and realize, God, can you interpret that for me? There's always going to be someone better than you, smarter than you, prettier than you, more wealthy than you. You're never going to be all that, and you ain't never going to be the bottom. Everybody's in the middle because God is the most holy and the devil is the most ugly and evil. So all of us are in the middle. But the point is that if you can destroy the works of the devil in your life, but you have to acknowledge that they're there. Don't think you have to be a Satanist to have the devil involved in your life. He is really, 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 really slick. How you doing? What's your name? That's the devil. Now, I'm not saying if you met that dude last night at the mall. I'm just saying. Okay. What is the method of spiritual warfare? Three things. We got 12 minutes. I'm going to go through this. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is going to have a conversation with Satan. And we're going to learn three things. There's probably 10 things in this passage, but we don't have time for 10. Matthew 4, 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones can be made bread." Everyone say identity clarity. He said, "If you are the Son of God," like he might not be. He'll bring into question who you are. Verse 4, he answered and said, "It is written." Everyone say, "It is written." You got to trust in the word of God. Number one, you got to know your identity. Number two, you got to trust the word of God. Man shall not live by the bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The devil took him up into a holy city and set him on the pinnacle of a temple and said, "If you are the Son of God," again, he questioned his identity, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up." This is Satan speaking, "lest they dash your foot against his own stone." The devil will use the Bible. The devil will create his own Bible. There's all kinds of religious books that claim that God wrote them. Jesus said, "It is written," again, "you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, him you shall serve only." And the devil left him alone. The devil will give you a man, but he may have disease. The devil will give you a woman, but she may be a she-devil. You don't want the devil's version of anything. You only want God's version, trust me. And I'm sure a lot of y'all have had the pain of a wrong relationship. Three things. Number one, identity clarity. If you are the Son of God. The devil asked him that a couple times. If you're the Son of God, prove it, prove it, prove it. Jesus says, "I don't need to prove anything to you. And you don't need to prove anything to the devil. By the way, you don't need to prove anything to anybody. You're an idiot." Okay. Cool. Matter of fact, the Bible says I'm a fool. And the Bible says that God has chosen the foolish to confound the wise. I have a master's degree. I talk to people who have PhDs and listen, I'll call you doctor. You call me master. It's a joke. I have totally respect for people who have PhDs. It's just a joke. But it's also a joke to say, so what? I mean, I don't brag about my degree. And hey, I got God. It's more important than any degree. Amen. And by the way, you got a PhD? God bless you. I can do all that work. My goodness. So congratulations. They did a 9-year study for the Navy SEALs, and they wanted to know what was the difference between the Navy SEALs who finished the training and became a SEAL and the SEALs who bowed out and didn't complete the training. And they said, okay, was it height? No. Was it athletic ability? No. Was it people who came from a swimming background? No. Was it the strongest? No. They realized that the guys who finished BUDS training, which is the name of their training, were the guys who had an identity of a warrior. They were someone who didn't quit. It wasn't an option. It's called identity-based behavior. Who and how you self-identify will dictate how you act, what you do and don't do, what is even possible for you to do. I'm a man, not a woman. I will never be a woman. It's impossible for me to be a woman. I don't care what this culture says. I'm a man. I don't even consider women things. Like, I don't go into lingerie stores looking for stuff for me. It's just like, it's not a decision I have to make, right? I'm a faithful husband. I never cheated on my wife. I'm a faithful husband. So I don't. Is it possible? The Bible says, "If any man think he stand, take heed lest he fall." So I ain't stupid. I got precautions, but that's not an option. It's not an option. If you have to every day wake up and make a decision, am I going to read the Bible? Maybe not. Maybe so. That's tiring. You have to wake up every day and say, "How do I feel? Do I feel motivated to follow God?" Sometimes you're not going to feel motivated to follow God, so you're not going to follow Him that day. But if you wake up every day and say, "I am a child of God, I am a daughter of God, I am a saint, I am called, I am blessed, I am anointed," there's no option for me. So you have to decide, who are you? So when the devil says, "Are you a Christian? Are you?" You say, "No, I am." Matter of fact, you all know I'm learning Spanish now. A couple weeks ago, I was gone for 9 days, which is one of the Sundays I missed, and I was in South Carolina, and then I went to Idaho. When I went to Idaho, flew into Boise, and then we had to drive 3.5 hours to Idaho Falls, and then we had to drive back 3.5 hours to Boise. And it was me and Pastor Nemo from Chula Vista, and I like driving, so I did most of the driving, like three hours of each way. And while I was driving, I had him quiz me on my Spanish. I had like 50 pages of notes, all these drills. I said, "Just ask me questions. Ask me, how do I say this? How do I say that?" So for 3 hours going one way and 3 hours coming back, he was just quizzing me. "How do you say this?" And I was killing. I was like, "See, we'll be at it. We'll be, you know, I just killed it, right?" And by the way, if you ever want to learn the most powerful, crazy word in Spanish, is ubiera. For all you Hispanoblantes, that word is a superpower word to me. Anyway, so I'm just like hitting all these Spanish sayings. He's trying to trick me, give me these complicated sentences, and I started to think, "Soy un Latino." Soy un Latino. I need some theme music. And then, Soy un Latino means I'm Latin, right? I'm Latin. And so all my life I've always wanted to speak Spanish. You all know the Puerto Ricans and the Boricuas in New York. So I'm sitting there, I got to change my name. And so every hour after I would get all these things right, I would say, "My name is Manuel Ortega Frances Sanchez Fernandez." You got to start talking like a winner. You got to start talking like God's son, God's daughter. You got to start speaking as someone who's walking in victory, not someone who's scared of the devil beating you down. It's going to be coming from your words. Declare the word of God. You need to declare the word of God. Matthew 4:4, it is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Dependence on the word of God. You need to make your decisions not based on your emotion, but based on what does God say. What does the Bible say? What does His voice say in your heart? Some of y'all might be in relationships right now and that aren't gonna make it, they don't make it, and then once you get out of it, at some point you're gonna go, "You know, God told me not to do that." And you knew it. "God told me not to buy that house, I couldn't afford it." And you knew that. "God told me not to take that job, I just knew it. Why didn't you obey Him?" Because you trusted yourself more than God. That's it. Imagine if you said, "Lord, Your word is a lamp to my feet. I'm just going to go where I see the light." Are there going to be temptations? Absolutely. Absolutely. But you need to speak God's word. There's a scientist called Dr. Emoto. And Dr. Emoto, E-M-O-T-O. I love the Japanese. You got to speak from diaphragm. And Dr. Emoto did this experiment that when he spoke to water, if he said something loving and kind, the water crystal would be beautiful. And if he said something evil, the water crystal would be ugly. Give you an example, and you can go look at this. The first one is disgust. Oh, this is peace. You got peace. If he spoke to water, peace, he said that word, that's what would happen to the water. And if he spoke disgust, here's what the water looked like. If he spoke thank you, here's what the water looked like. If he spoke Hitler, here's what the water looked like. Now, you're thinking, I got chills right now. You know what God said in Genesis chapter 1? God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You know what God said? "I made you in my image." Your words can impact reality. Do you know that you are 2/3 water? What happens if you speak life to somebody? What happens if you speak death to somebody? But when you speak the life to someone, and when you read the Bible, declare the Bible, guess who else is hearing it? You. So read the Bible, but read it out loud. Worship in your house. Worship out loud. You want to change your life? What I'm telling you. Change your life? Read the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Declare the Bible over yourself. Look at, and you don't need to look yourself in the mirror. Just say it. It'll go out. By the way, the Bible says that our words are overflow from the heart. The mouth speaks the overflow of the heart. So when you say words that are consistent with the heart of God, God's behind those words. God's behind those words in the Bible. And so Jesus says, Satan, I don't need to convince you, out-argue you, give you scientific evidence. I'm just going to declare God's word. And God's word will do the power. So when you start hearing lies in your life, hearing discouragement, what does the Bible say about that situation? Because if you have the Bible, just declare it over your life. Then anybody say, well, it didn't work before. Because you did it one time. You got to do it over and over again. How many of y'all, don't raise your hand, just think. How many of y'all been to the gym one time and you complain because you didn't get in shape? I know you know Usain Bolt. He's the fastest man in the world. At one time, I think his record might be broken. I don't remember, but at one time, he was the fastest man in the world. He's from Jamaica. How people's from Jamaica, West Indies. And he said, I would train hundreds of hours for a race that took 9 seconds. We always want, give it to me now. Give it to me now. God don't work that way. He's not on our timetable. We are on his. Last one, you need to have a posture of worship. Again, the devil took him up onto an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. At the end of the day, people, the devil just wants you to worship him. And trust me, he is not talking about having a satanic ritual in your yard killing cats. He just wants you to listen to his advice, not God's advice. I want you to imagine you're married to someone or dating someone and their ex is standing over there. Whether you like them or not, they're the ex. And your wife, husband, person that you're involved with says to do one thing. And the ex says, no, do this in real time. And you go, I'm going to do what the ex says. Ooh. That's worship that Satan wants. God's going to give you advice, his word, well documented, and the devil's going to give you advice. Who are you going to trust? That's it. It's not about ritual. It's about obedience. Not coming to church, not faithfully giving, not serving, not reading your Bible, not praying. There's all the stuff the devil wants. And absolutely not talking about Jesus. Matter of fact, if the devil had his way, he would have you go to church, read your Bible, do all stuff. Just don't tell anybody about Jesus. He don't. He could tolerate this, but just don't tell anybody about it. When you go out this room, shut your mouth. And we go, yes, 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 Master. Yes, Master. Don't take your Bible to work. Oh, yes, Master. Don't talk about Jesus. Yes, Master. Yes, Master. That's worship. So you have to make a decision, is that you would acknowledge that there's spiritual warfare in your life and that you're going to choose this day whom you are going to serve. In a minute, I'm going to pray, and it's going to be a prayer for all the believers out there. I know some of y'all are not Christian, but for all you believers out there, that you would say, I am going to choose to engage in warfare. I'm not going to be ignorant to it. You can't be ignorant to it. You just heard it, but I'm not going to ignore it. I am going to engage by waking up every day, at least to say, Father, I submit to you. I submit to you today. I want to hear your voice. Next time you have a hard decision, pause. What do you say, God? Get in the habit. What do you want me to do, God? Someone comes up to you and offers you something. Lord, tell me where they're coming from. What's going on here? Someone yells at you. There are people in your life who are going to be rude to you, yell at you, whatever. Just pause and try to see the demonic influence in their life, the lies they're believing, the pain they're carrying. And ask them how they're doing. I've had so many instances where people knew me or didn't know me, but especially the ones, either way, be at the airport, customer service lady, she ain't having a good day. I don't know what's going on in her life. She's like, yes, can I help you? like, is this customer service? I don't say that, I'm thinking it. And then I'm gonna look at you, and I'm like, what do you want? And I go, how you doing? I'm having a bad day. Can I pray for you? It's against the rules. Your rules, not mine. Lord bless Lucretia. Bless Pookie and Ray Ray. In Jesus' name, amen. And they go, how can I help you? Can I get bumped up to first class? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Lord, I just pray that everybody here would take something in their head to remind them of the warfare they're in. And they will be encouraged that no matter how deceptive, evil, and wicked the devil is, man, he's nothing compared to you. He's always lying, always about destruction, always deceptive, never truthful. He's a murderer. Why would we trust him? So I pray you give us a desire to acknowledge the warfare and acknowledge our dependence on Jesus and the Holy Spirit. El Espíritu Santo, muchas gracias por tu presencia poderosa aquí. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence, powerful presence here today. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're saying, yes, I need to be better at engaging in spiritual warfare, just raise your hand up really high. Really high, really high, really high, really high, really high. Come on. Just this act right here, you are acknowledging. Keep your hands up. Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray for all the people whose hands are raised. Lord, they know the lies in their head. They know the things they're worrying about, the mind games they're engaged in. I pray you give them clarity, and I pray that they would take those thoughts captive and reflect the word of God in them, the truth of God's promises and his faithfulness, and that you would expose what's true and not true, and that every day they would get better at fighting the spiritual war that they're in. I pray supernatural blessing. I pray release. I pray freedom. I pray liberation and declare blessing over everybody with their hands raised in all our campuses. Set them free from bondage today, Lord. At least even in their mind to say, I really don't have to be in bondage to those lies. I have truth. And I pray you give them a hunger and thirst to read the Bible, memorize the Bible, apply the Bible to their life, and that you would reveal to them the truth of God's word that refutes the lies of the devil that had been discouraging them. I pray this in Jesus' name. In the nombre de Jesus, amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Come on, church.